Hello, can everyone hear me? Okay, that's good. Hello. Okay. Did I switch it off accidentally? Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I have. Oh, move away from that. Okay. Is here okay? All right. Good. Yes. I'm new to this. Please let me know if I'm being a pain. Okay. All right. Some fresh air in there. Okay. You're ready for 2 hours of sermon. Okay. I'm not. So I might leave, you know, like maybe in 30 or 40 minutes time, but you can stay. All right, feel free to sit down. You don't have to stand up. Yeah, Father God, I want to thank you for your presence in this place. I want to thank you that you love us, Lord. You see us, you know where we're at. And you invite us to draw closer to you, Lord. So this is what we want to do today, Lord. Draw closer to you, Lord. Pray that you speak to us, Lord. Bring us a fresh revelation, Lord, of who you are, Lord, of your word in our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive, Lord, what you want to share with us this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, so I am going to... Oh, wow. Put that there. Okay, geography lesson. I was always horrible in geography at school, so whatever I say geography related, please double check. It might not be accurate. But no, this is not a geography lesson. But what I want to talk about is I want to focus on the beginning of the first epistle of Peter. God has been speaking to me a lot about this letter. So I will pretty much spend some time on the first chapter, and I'm going to go into the beginning of the second chapter briefly. Okay, and my key verse is 1 Peter 1, 13. And it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Oh, kicking the bucket. And we're going to unpack that a little bit, okay? So I'm going to give you a little bit of context before we get to that verse, and we will expand from there, okay? So the reason why I have a map there, at least that part of Europe and Asia, is to talk a little bit about what this letter is about. So this letter was written by Peter, and it was written to the Christians who were scattered, you know, all across, according to the message, it says, scattered to the four winds. And it was written in Babylonia 30 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's addressed to the various churches in Asia Minor. Okay, so map Asia Minor. And all these Christians scattered there, they were suffering religious persecution, okay? And the theme of this letter is to encourage Christians to stay true during trials and testify of God's grace. Let's have a guess how many times the word suffering is mentioned in only in the first epistle.
15.
Very close. 16. 16 times, I mean, 5 chapters, 16 times. That's right. Very good. And in the beginning of the of this chapter, of chapter 1, the letter is addressed to all the elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are elect. We're set apart for obedience. Obedience plays a major part in a Christian life. I wonder why. Any clues? So we don't get in trouble. That's right. So it's good to be obedient. So we won't get in trouble. Okay, say that to my kids. All right. Okay, so I'm going to begin by looking at the next slide, please. So the theme of this morning is sobriety. Okay? So I don't know if has anyone ever been to an AA meeting? Pardon? No? Does anybody need to be sort of referred to one? Okay, that's good. So, of course, I haven't been to one yet. Oh, well, I hope to really never have to. Anyway, so as we've seen from films and etc., you know, when people are sitting in that circle and they, you know, they introduce themselves, they say, "Oh, I am so and so. I'm an alcoholic," etc., etc. Some AA meetings, they have actually been changing. I did a little bit of research, and they are not actually saying, they're not introducing themselves as alcoholics anymore, because that's not their identity. It's part of their history, but it's not their identity. So what happens in an AA meeting is they get together. The primary purpose is to encourage one another to stay sober, okay, and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety and remain sober, of course, through accountability. A little bit like church. Yeah? So I come to church. My name is Mauricio. I'm a saint who occasionally sins. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint who occasionally sins. So I'm not boasting about it. This is God's grace, but we have to understand that if we look at ourselves from a negative light, of course we were sinners, but we're not anymore. So we have to focus on who we are at the moment. You know, I have my slips. I spend a day with me. You can make a list of my sins. But I'm not a sinner. I am a saint by God's grace. But I occasionally, sometimes more than occasionally. If you want to check how often, you can always speak with my wife if you're interested in that kind of research. Anyway, next slide, please. So two verses that talk about three verses that talk about our identity. So if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I just want to highlight that it is different to be with sin. Being with sin is different from being a sinner. So we are all with sin. Okay? We struggle with sin. We fall into temptations, but we are not sinners. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So through Jesus, we are now the righteousness of God. That's who I am. That's who we are. The righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. And righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Okay, so this is who we are. Thanks to Jesus, thanks to the work on the cross, his resurrection, this is who we are. So before we tackle sobriety, we're not there yet, we're still a bit tipsy, I'm joking. But before we tackle sobriety, we're going to look at our status as exiles. So this letter, this epistle of Peter, is addressed to those in exile. So you may say, well, I was born and bred in Harlow. This is my home. I'm no exile. Okay, maybe we have to identify ourselves as exiles there first before we carry on. Because this letter is addressed to us. And is addressed to you, even if you were born and bred in Harlow. So the next two verses, I think it's two, in the next slide. Let's see if I'm right. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So there's been a change of address. I spoke about this before a while ago. I can be repetitive. I think that's why I don't speak so much. Once a year maybe is good for me. But we have experienced the change of address. Okay? So all your IOU letters go to your old address. You don't owe a thing. Okay, you have a new address. It is not in the power of darkness anymore, but it's in the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's who we are. So, are we in the kingdom yet?
Yes.
But has the kingdom come fully?
No.
So this is, it doesn't really feel like home, does it? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, How many Brits? How many Brazilians? How many Asians here in the room? How many Zimbabweans? How many? Well, how many citizens of heaven?
Yeah.
That's right. Have you got your passport?
Yeah.
We got a stamp on it. That's right. So we are citizens in heaven. So this is our status at the moment. That's who we are. Okay, so on this earth, in this planet, and in this town, we are exiles. This is not our home. So don't get too comfy. Okay? You're leaving soon. This is not a word from God. But don't get too attached. This is not your home. It's interesting that if you look at the process of adoption, before the adopted child moves into, you know, its new home with their new parents, the child is still living under the care of his or her foster parents with the support of a social worker, of course. So, and what happens during the process is a series of visits from the new parents. The child receives a series of visits from the new parents. And they come and then spend some time, and then they go. And then finally, when they are ready, they come, they take the child to their home, and then they apply to become legal parents of the child. And the kingdom of God is a little bit like this. Of course, God applied a long time ago, even before the foundation of the world. He applied as our legal father. Okay? And what we have here, what we're living in, is pretty much a foster home. Yeah, we get daddy's visit from time to time.
Yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
But we were eagerly waiting for the day that we're moving home, our new home,
yes,
with our real daddy.
Amen.
A little bit like that, isn't it? Okay, so we are in exile, aren't we?
Yes.
We're all under foster care. I believe the Holy Spirit here is the social worker, maybe. I don't know. Okay, so this letter is addressed to those in exile, and it's also addressed to those under persecution. Okay, so do you identify yourself as in exile?
Yeah.
Okay, do you identify yourselves as under persecution?
Yes.
No? Yes and no.
Yes.
Okay, let's look into that. Yeah, it may take a while for this country to become, you know, a severe persecuted country, okay? It could be tomorrow, I don't know, it could take a while. But the fact is that those Christians scattered in Asia Minor, the kind of religious persecution they were suffering actually was more of a social persecution, even by their fellow Jews, okay? So the fact is that they were so familiar to the culture, okay? They had to flee their home. You know, they were in a strange culture, and the thing is, they were picking up stuff from the culture. Oh, this is nice. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to let this be part of me. And the thing is, they were beginning to be persecuted at a social level. And They were beginning to acquire habits that were contrary to their heavenly culture. So they began making small concessions, okay, small compromises. Okay, that's fine. And little by little, eventually, you know, their identity started to become intoxicated by those different, those little things in the culture that they just began to acquire. And the other day I was having a chat with my son, Arthur, and he was speaking about theory of evolution that he was learning in school. And he began questioning me about this. And, I mean, God is so gracious that at that very moment, God just gave me this quick thought about Daniel and his friends. And they were in Babylonia, and they were learning about the culture, a strange culture, and all of that. But it also says that they were praying, and they would always go back to the Word of God to, you know, sort of detox themselves from everything that they were learning from that culture, so they wouldn't acquire, you know, the culture from that strange place, and they would hold on, stay true to their identity in God. So I was telling him, it's okay to learn, to listen to all of this, you know, but stick to the truth. Know the truth and hold on to the truth. Okay, so we are all under persecution at different levels. Maybe at work, you know, you need to fit in. Everybody's doing this. Everybody's drinking coffee and you're a tea drinker. You feel pressured. Well, that is an easy kind of persecution to deal with. But there might be others, okay, if you are in school and you know, depending on who you're surrounded by, you know, people may lead you to think this way, you know, walk that way. So I identify myself as an exile and also under persecution. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. A few. That's good. All right, so if we carry on looking at this chapter 1 here in Peter, from verses 1 to 12, Paul reminds us of our inheritance in God since we have been born again. He also acknowledges our trials and reminds us to persevere to see the salvation of our souls. And then we get to the key verse, okay? So I think we have the key verse there in the next slides. Yeah, so therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So different versions, actually, they give you a different, different wording. Has anybody got, that is the New King James. Has anyone got a different version there they would like to read out? What does it mean to gird up the loins of your mind? Well, we're going to get...
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on grace.
Thank you.
To be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So, engage your mind for action. Anything else? Just the beginning of that verse. Has anyone got anything different? Minds that are alert and fully sober. Right. Very good. So in the next slide, we learn a little bit about girding up, not the loins of our minds, but it speaks about girding up our loins. Okay, I haven't brought my tunic today. That's why I got the slide. So that's pretty much what you do. You know, that you kind of a nappy. If you had a baby before, you nappy yourself up and then you're ready for action. Okay? So when Peter speaks about girding up the loins of our minds, it's just engaging our minds, you know, in truth and ready for action. Okay? Engage your minds, ready for action, and be sober. Okay? Let's tackle sobriety finally. Okay? So how do I engage my mind? Is anything in there? Come on, engage. Where's the button? Anyway, when we engage our minds in the truth by filling it up with the truth, okay? Knowing what the truth is, letting the truth come into our minds, okay? And engage our minds in action, engage our minds in the truth. Philippians 4:8, in the next slide, there's a list of things of what to think about. And so fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So things to fix our minds on, all right, on all these things. Engage your mind on what is true. Engage your mind on what is honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. We are going to, I should have said this in the beginning, but I'm saying this now, you still got time, all right? You're going to do a little exercise in the end, so I'm hoping people will participate, okay? Nothing difficult. Don't worry, you won't get punished if you don't do it. It's okay, but I think it'd be really good if you could, if you did it. Anyway, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 10. It's not on the slide, but it's certainly in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And here Paul is speaking about, you know, how to deal with people that don't believe in the truth. And he speaks about bringing every thought. He said, talks about our battle not being against flesh and blood. But he also speaks about bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I believe that we have to do that from time to time ourselves. Bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As prisoners of war. I don't know, my mind wanders sometimes. I don't know about yours. And he wanders into some dangerous places sometimes. So I have to, you know, go get that runaway thought and come on, you prisoner of Christ, you know, get back into captivity. So I think we need to do that from time to time. Okay? Let our minds be captured, captivated as prisoners of war. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, a sound mind. If you look at the meaning of a sound mind there in the Bible, it speaks about someone who is always in check, someone who sort of restrains, you know, like you restrain a dog, you restrain your thoughts, don't let it wander. Stay in check, you know, keep in check, check your head. The Message, that same verse, of 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Okay, so you get all those thoughts, those emotions, and those impulses, and you just, you know, shove them into place, right? Into the into the structure of life shaped by Christ. That's what it says. Okay? And the word is so important. I believe meditating in the word, speaking out the word of God, praying out the word of God can solve 101% of our problems. Okay? I believe if you have children, if you speak the word of God over them, I was so impacted reading Patricia Bootsma book, Raising Burning Hearts. And she speaks a lot about declaring the truth, declaring scripture over our children. And we do that from time to, well, we do that every day, basically, with our children. And encourage them and speak them the truth and help them to focus on the truth. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you don't have children, do that to yourself. Do that to your mom. I don't know. Anyway. And John 17:17, this is Jesus praying for his disciples. It says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. So what can sanctify us? The truth, the word of God. So Peter here, he's speaking before he says, you know, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. He says, strive for the salvation of your souls. So our spirit is saved the moment we welcome Jesus into our life. But then our soul is still there, sort of, you know, trying to run away. And we have to sanctify our soul. We have to strive for the salvation of our souls. And that sanctification is through the Word of God, bringing that soul back into captivity. Okay, so our soul is our thoughts, our emotions, and all of that. So we have to bring that into captivity, you know, to obedience, to the obedience of Christ. Is everybody still there?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. Okay, so it speaks, that verse in 1 Peter speaks, can we go back to the green verse, please? Just because it's a green background, people who will listen to the recording, if anyone will ever listen to the recording, will know. It doesn't look very green at the moment, does it? Anyway, so before, well, in that verse, actually, it says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. So Peter is encouraging us and to be sober. What does it mean to be sober?
Clear mind.
A clear mind. To be in control, to be able to stand, that's right, and walk properly. Yeah. That's right. So it is the ability to see things clearly according to the Word of God. So we have, basically, we all have two filters when we read the Word of God and we're seeking that revelation that we have. Sort of, there are two filters, really, the Word of God has to sort of break through. One of them is the world. There's the world filter. But it's also, there's our own culture. You may read the Bible and say, well, this is too harsh. It's probably not for me. I can think of 1,000 people who would benefit, you know, from being more obedient. But I don't think really applies to me. So there's that filter, you know, also that I think sometimes is the hardest one to break through, and we have to allow, you know, God's word to come in and just, you know, bring that, you know, that change of mindset, metanoia, brainwash. Okay? We need to be brainwashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, detox from my cultural understanding. And then, jumping up to the second chapter, Peter says here, desire the pure milk of the word. The pure, unadulterated. Okay, the pure milk of the Word of God. Uncorrupted, with no additives. Okay, with nothing added, nothing taken out. The pure milk. You know, that's what we have to strive for. Drunkenness distorts reality. Okay, some of us know by experience. And what happens is our mind becomes insensitive to what's real. It becomes insensitive to the truth. Okay? So, I want to be careful with what I'm going to say, but I had a conversation with a Christian once who said, well, one day we are going to be surprised when we get to heaven, when we see a lot of homosexual couples in heaven. And I was like, okay, I'm never talking to you again. Goodbye. I didn't do that, of course. But I think sometimes we just begin, and this person's perspective was that, you know, God is love, and these people love each other. This is love. Okay, don't fight against it. This is love. But I think, you know, what happens is that when we detach ourselves from the truth, we can easily fall into those kind of traps and just let our minds, you know, be intoxicated. We make little concessions, you know, little compromises like those Christians in Asia Minor were doing. And we just end up, you know, far, far away. It's not that bad, yeah. It's love. So we end up away, you know, miles away from the truth. 1 Timothy 4:2 speaks of those people who had their minds seared with iron, seared with a hot iron. The message also actually says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give on the faith and chase after demonic illusion put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long that they've lost their capacity for truth. That is tough. Yeah. So I believe a little lie. It's all right. It's not so disconnected from the Word of God. And I believe a second lie. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And I'm lost. Where's the truth? I have no more capacity for truth. I'm so far away from the truth. So it is important, you know, get those thoughts that are captive, you know, and take them to where they belong, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay? All right, so it says there, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So hang in there, okay? Trust in Him. This is not our home. We're in exile. We're under persecution. But I think 2 clicks from now, Pokong, 2 slides from now, we have a very encouraging picture there. Hang in there. This is not our home, okay? It's not the time yet, okay? There's still a lot of stuff that, you know, we have to deal with, we have to battle through, but hang in there. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So I always used to read this verse. I felt condemned. God saying, be holy for I am holy. I really felt under pressure. For many years in my life, I have to be holy. You know, I have to really strive for holiness because my Father is holy. But then some time ago, I'd say only recently really, I carried on reading. And then in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And I realized that I've been born again out of a different seed, just like every one of you. You have the seed of God. You've been born out of an incorruptible seed. You have God's DNA. You have God's DNA. So when I realize that, I can go back to that verse in 1 Peter 1:16 and rejoice, because I can be holy because my Father is holy. Because He is holy, I am holy. We have another encouraging picture in the next slide. Like Father, like Son. Because He is holy, I am holy. And that's a fact. I've got God's DNA in me. You have His DNA in you. Right? So we need to gird up the loins of our minds. You know, get our minds ready for action and remain sober. How do we remain sober? By walking away from pubs, walking past? No. How to remain sober?
By not getting intoxicated.
By not getting intoxicated. How do you not get intoxicated? So, Jesus speaks a lot about eating the Word of God, but I think we can also drink it, yeah? Right? So, let's drink the Word. Let's get drunk with the Word of God. Filled with the Word of God. Okay, are you ready for a little bit of exercise? Not physical. Okay? And just before, can anyone do the splits? I'd like to come to the front and teach me. Anyway, just before we get to that, in Isaiah chapter 8, God is giving Isaiah a lot of instructions about how not to think like everyone else. And in verse 20 of Isaiah 8, he says, if they do not, how to identify, you know, people who do, who are not of God's people. And it says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So what are we speaking about? In the second beginning of the second chapter of that of Peter's letter, of his first letter, it gives us a list of things to lay aside. And lay aside, the verb here, it refers to taking off your clothes, okay? Not literally, not right now, and not here, but it's about laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Evil speaking also refers to speaking in discordance or disagreement with the truth. So get rid of that. Speak according to the truth. Okay? So when I look at this verse in 1 Peter 1 verse 13, my prayer, what I speak to myself is, Lord, I make a conscious decision to keep my mind alert and sober. I place my hope and trust in You, and as an obedient child, I choose to not to conform to the evil desires I had when I lived in ignorance. But just as You are holy, I will be holy in everything I do, because You are holy, I am also holy. Because You are holy, Lord, I am also holy. And I just let the word come into my head and just blow my brains out. Or maybe just wash it. I may need it for later. So what I encourage you to do right now, not everyone needs to do that, but if you really feel that you want to participate, I want you to just to quietly ask God to guide you to a piece of scripture that you believe it is. Of course, you believe all scripture is true, but that you believe it is for you at this moment, or maybe it's something that God has already been speaking to you. All right, and I would like you to. We don't need to stand up. But if you want to stand up, I want you to read it out. And I want you to put your name in there. And I want you, you know, if you don't have that practice at home, I want to encourage you to start practicing that now. Read scripture out. Pray scripture, okay? Put your name there where your name is not. But put it in there and believe that it is for you and that it is true. So I'm going to give you a couple seconds. And whenever you're ready, feel free to speak that out, pray that out, declare that out over yourself. Yes, can we have it on the mic? Has anyone got microphone phobia?
No. Psalm 119, 130 to 133, which I'm meditating on at the moment. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple and to my simple mind. I open my mouth and I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Amen.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Therefore, I am a new creation in Christ. The old has gone and the new is here.
Amen.
Is 1 Peter 2, is, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Be strong, Sibeli. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is treading ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you.
So, Margaret, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong, you do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
Psalm 139. Voon, I have formed you and covered you in your mother's womb. And God, I just want to praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your work, and that my soul knows very well. And when your frame, is not hidden, when I made you in secret and wrought you in the lowest part of the earth. God, your eyes saw my substance, being yet and form, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Thank you, God.
This is Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 2. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair.
It's James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that the steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, Father God, I just thank you for your word that is living, is active, is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
And thank you, God, that your word is alive and it brings us to life, Lord. It purifies our soul, Lord. So, Father, as brothers and sisters, Lord, in this family, we want to remain sober, Lord. Yeah. And we want to encourage one another to remain sober, Lord, and alert, with our minds captivated by your truth, Lord. Help us, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord. It's so easy on a Sunday morning, but when Monday comes, Lord, it's our thoughts can be all over the place, Lord. So help us to bring those thoughts, Lord, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We love your word, Lord, and we love your presence. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you.